the home team.
And here we go.
Now the home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden.
Every day.
Strap yourselves in. It is time for the 5 at 5. Brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. This is the Dolphins over the Patriots edition of the 5 at 5. Day.
So now for you, as far as a regular season Dolphins win goes, this has got to be one of the biggest ones in a long time, just the way it went down and who you beat.
For sure. I mean, for me in my lifetime or whatever, the biggest one would have been the Monday night win over the Bears in 85 to end their perfect season and preserve the fabulous Dolphins franchise as the only still perfect franchise. Which would make the second biggest win, I guess, in Dolphins, recent history would be the Giants over the Patriots in that one Super Bowl. But, there hadn't been too many bright spots for the Dolphins. They lost that game, the Ken O'Brien Marino shootout.
Was that 49-45?
Yeah.
You had the one Marino, you won with the fake spike.
There was that one, and
was the 49-45, was that did Wesley Walker have like 3 touchdowns in that game?
Yes.
Yeah.
But then there was another one that just there was the fake spike game.
A lot of big ones against the Jets.
Yeah.
In the early 90s, did you have a big one against the Bills during their run? So I know Buffalo did what.
Yeah, the Dolphins would beat them
usually
occasionally.
In
that run. There was one time they beat them in Buffalo, I remember, pretty bad. But then, the Dolphins got to host the AFC Championship game, and the Bills beat them in that.
I got another one for you, Thanksgiving Day 1993.
Yeah, the Leon Lett game.
Leon Lett.
There was one that just popped into my head and popped out that I'm missing now. But anyway, that was like another. There was another fluke.
Well, they beat the Dolphins. I'm sorry, they beat the Patriots 1 year. Wasn't Miami 2-11, and the Pats were 11-2 or something?
Yeah. Well, they beat them that one time running that Wildcat.
Yeah,
it was
Ronnie
the first
Brown.
Time the NFL really had seen that.
And Ronnie Brown was just. Gutting.
Yeah, with the late Tony Sparano deciding all right, let's try it. What could, what's the worst could happen? We could lose to the Patriots again?
Boy, I remember, too, this is a little bit before your time, though, watching, and you'll see it was a loss for the Dolphins, but Earl Campbell had a great Monday night game against Miami.
I remember that. I don't think that wasn't the game where the John Lennon, because they were playing the Oilers in that game.
I don't think so.
I don't think they were the same.
But it might have been. Campbell's best run, I think it was Nolan Cromwell of the Rams, who was a great safety. Earl Campbell just gets ahead of steam and just put his helmet right in his chest. And it's probably what getting hit by a sledgehammer would feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't want to get hit by it.
I think Campbell had the one against the Dolphins. He had an 80-yarder, I think, where they were tugging at the jersey.
Yeah, back in the old days, too, when those things would just tear away.
And he went all the way. Now, as far as for you, is your favorite win probably when they beat the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl in 84?
I mean, that would be
over the Jets in 82.
That was a good one. Yeah, either one of those. Probably the one over the Jets, because the Jets had really, they had their number there for a while. Mm-hmm. There was a period of time the Jets won 8 straight games against
That's
them.
That's crazy. What I'll always remember about that was A.J. Dewey had a big game, and it was just pouring down rain. It was 14-0. Dewey might have had a pick 6.
I think they were sacking Richard Todd all day.
Yes. That was the killer bee.
That's the last time Bama produced a decent quarterback.
Richard Todd.
Yeah.
Well, I got a couple of pretty
good
ones.
Now they just got this guy who doesn't win Heismans.
Ugh. They just – with the help of the officials and all their advocacy, just perform open-heart surgery on you with no anesthesia.
Well, Jeff, let's start the 5 at 5. And again, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Between the kick 6 and the Miami Miracle, Nick Saban or Bill Belichick, who is the bigger moron?
The thing that makes the kick six, they got what they deserved because that Bama advocacy, they put an extra second on the clock for them to try that field goal.
Sure. But, like, here's why Saban was a moron, though, in that. It's because he trusted a kicker that he knew he couldn't trust. I mean, when have you ever been able to trust an Alabama's field goal kicker? And it's not like they were lining up for
Van Tiffin, right, maybe, or Philip Doyle.
Not like they were lining up for a chip shot field goal.
No, it was 50-something yards. The thing for the Patriots yesterday, Chris, I think you made the good point. I get it having Gronk because he's so big, great athlete. But that wasn't a Hail Mary-type throw. So if Miami's on the 50 – I get it.
He's a big guy. He wants to bat it down. But there was no way. Tannehill can't throw ball 75 yards.
Not many guys can.
Right. I mean, they weren't going to do a Hail Mary there. And they had Gronk out there. And then as it turned out, he was the last line of defense to try and run Kenyon Drake down. And
Bill Belichick, idiot.
Yeah. Well, this is what I love about those guys is, you know, they're so – you know, they'll show up, like, you know, Belichick, I'm sure this week, he'll show up for, like, his media obligations, and he'll want to be basically anywhere else, and it's beneath him to have to talk football with, you know, the assembled media. And it's like, you know what none of those people have ever done, though? Put Rob Gronkowski out on the field in the last defensive play of the game when the Dolphins were not going to attempt a Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So who's the big dummy now?
I hear you.
You jerk.
Why don't you go back to the jerk store?
Yeah. You and Nick Saban both.
Well,
Georgia
is one of the four best teams. Well, I voted him fifth because he just sanctimonious windbag.
Explain that to us.
I think he did
attempt to explain it, but I'm like, I don't even care what his explanation
is. Shut up.
He's a big jerk, too.
I mean, I get it. You're one of the greatest coaches of all time. Ripped our hearts out three times this decade. We got cheated in the last two.
But it is something. It's funny now how – I mean, there is. I mean, all seriousness, these are the two greatest coaches, I mean, we've seen in what? Like 20 years now.
Well, let's just – Saban's without a doubt the college coach of the century, and Belichick's without a doubt the pro coach of the century.
And there's no one even in their zip code.
I mean, I think you could say for sure with Belichick – how many guys can he – he's been the coach of the decade in two different decades. There's no denying that.
Right.
And Saban's
– I mean, Saban's got –
maybe you go with Meyer and the O's, but he's at worst number two there and is definitely the coach of the 2010s.
But he won two titles in the O's and did it at two different schools.
I know.
So, I mean
– I know.
A case could be made either way, but both have suffered just the
– yes.
I mean – awful losses.
Unfortunately, Saban didn't take one to the dogs.
No, but one is coming.
It's coming.
I hope.
Might have to beat them twice.
And I was talking with someone the other day, and it did come down to the fact that, like, I mean, Saban's got to retire at some point. Like, at some point, like, he's going to go before Kirby does.
Yeah, sure.
So,
look, we're going to get him before. We're going to win a national championship before then.
Before he retires.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we're going to be in great. I mean, let me tell you what. The 20s, that is the dawning of the decade of the dogs. And it'd be nice to have a natty in 2019 to roll in there.
Well, that game would be played in 2020.
There you go.
January something of 2020,
right? That's
right.
Yeah, you mean the second go around.
Well, but the first game.
The national title. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, y'all beat – oh, now y'all got to beat us twice, you know, because we're
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Alabama.
I forgot. We will have to beat them twice. We'll have to beat them in Atlanta. And
it's like I was saying for my Friday morning breakfast group. And I, you know, the way it turns out, it just rips your heart out. But, you know, we're just all sitting there. It's like, yeah, you know, it's a piece of cake. You know, we just beat Tech, Florida, Auburn, Tennessee. Yeah, we just got to go beat Alabama, Notre Dame, Alabama. No problem.
Yeah, well, you know what's going to happen. I mean, they're not losing anywhere next year. Although they do it like they do have tougher road games than Georgia does because they've got to go to A&M and
Auburn.
Well, Auburn might not be good next year.
They might not. They go to South Carolina.
Just when you think Auburn's not going to be good.
I know. Just so don't get cocky.
Yeah.
They'll
end up with that Khalil Tate. You watch. You wait and see.
But then it's then you get down to it with Saban. They go to South Carolina. That could be tough. But is Saban going to lose to Will Muschamp?
No. If when it comes to like a if one of his former assistants is going to beat him, the first by all rights at this point with what's happened in the last two, you know, this calendar year. should be Kirby.
I mean, my God, we are inches and seconds away from like being in 1981. I mean,
Kirby should be 2-0 against them.
I mean, in 1981, we unfortunately didn't get the rematch with Clemson, who didn't have a lock-in, but we were the defending national champions, once beaten, going to the Sugar Bowl, back-to-back SEC champions.
Yeah. I mean, Kirby should be 2-0 against him, and right now all he is just some guy that faked a punt.
I mean,
there's just the margins are that thin, Jeff.
Jeez. I mean, the 118-56 out of 120.
I know.
And, you know, I guess with the Falcons a year before, though, in 16, what they never trailed until the last play, and then Georgia never trailed until the last play.
Yeah.
I just think the odds of losing a game like that.
Well, luckily, the comparisons between the Falcons and Georgia have ended there because they've lost five in a row.
They stink.
And, I'm glad that Georgia hasn't lost five in a row anytime recently.
I love it, too. Every kid that commits, every player in the program is, we're here to win a national championship. I mean, it's.
Well, it should happen soon.
Yeah. I mean, it's driving these guys.
Speaking of national championships, Jeff. Another year is going to pass because the four teams in this playoff are Clemson, mm-hmm. Alabama, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma. All four of those schools have won national titles, which leaves 1996 is still the last time a team won a national championship for the first time.
Yes.
That would be the Florida Gators. Now, prior to that, 3 years before that, Florida State did it.
Yeah.
And then a decade before that, Miami did it in part of a four-year run where you went Clemson, Penn State, Miami, and BYU. So once upon a time, it wasn't rare.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden, it has become rare. Will we see another first-time national champion, or is it now just the powers have definitely just separated themselves and the deck is stacked against everybody else?
I think the powers have separated themselves. It seems like Georgia would be a first-time national champion because 1980 was a long time ago. But the next school that might have a shot to win it, just when you think about teams that have been around it, and, you know, we'll see with the – if Chip Kelly was still at Oregon, would they be in play? But he's at UCLA. They haven't won one. Oregon hasn't won one. It wouldn't be outlandish to think that one of those schools could. Could Central Florida – possibly.
Well, that's when you think about it, Florida State, and Miami, all of a sudden there was this one state that finally figured out, like, hey, wait a second, we should be good in football. And they were that, yeah. I mean, Central Florida's definitely, they're undefeated now 2 years in a row. So
I know the Aggies would absolutely love to join that fray with Jimbo.
Are they the best answer to a team if a first-timer was going to capture one, A&M?
Who would your final four be?
Of teams that have never –
Would it be the four we just named? Would it be UCLA, Oregon, Central Florida, and Texas A&M? So I don't see either Mississippi school doing it.
Wait, you said who? Oregon, UCF, A&M, and who is the fourth?
UCLA.
UCLA's never won one?
Yeah, not like an – I mean, maybe they claim like a half a one. I'll give you one more, potentially. What about Stanford?
Stanford is – they've
been
lurked
around it.
Yeah. I mean, these teams that have lurked enough, but at the end of the day, you just – right now, you've got this stranglehold. And then with, like you said, it feels like Georgia would be a first-timer, even though Georgia's not a first-timer, but it has been so long, but – you know, obviously Georgia has entered the scene now too.
And I mean, it used to be easier back in the day. Like I think about another school that hasn't won one's West Virginia. 1988, they played an incredibly easy schedule. They played three teams with winning records. They got in. Notre Dame was far superior. Notre Dame beat them 34-21. But they had their shot.
And
it was a deal.
Miami was far superior.
Yes, they were. So Auburn that year played, I think, five top 10 teams, went 10-1. Their only loss was at LSU 7-6.
Mm-hmm.
But West Virginia
got
in.
Yeah.
And again, Miami's only loss was by 1 point at Notre Dame.
And in the game they were cheated.
Right. Florida State had a 10-1 record that year. That's the year Miami blew them out, but it was West Virginia who got in. But now to do something like that, you've got to have the 11 or 12 win regular season. A school like West Virginia would absolutely have to win the conference title game, and then you'd have to go through and win twice. It is just such a game changer to win twice in the playoffs. That's why, you know, like in October we were talking, you know, how many teams could make the playoffs? Like, well, you know, maybe 7, 8, 9, but in the, how many teams could win it? 3, maybe 4? Because that's a different – like, I don't think Notre Dame can win it.
No, I don't either.
I don't see any scenario where they're beating both Clemson and presumably Alabama.
No, I don't either. That's why, yeah, we even when they were undefeated during the season and we would throw out some names of teams, I never had Notre Dame in there just because I didn't think that they could. I mean, Michigan, I think, was one team. I had Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Oklahoma too, but now I'm sitting here like they've got
– Oklahoma's going to get killed by Alabama.
Yeah, because now, I mean, Alabama's going to get to – like Alabama needs any motivation or any extra, you know, zip in a game like this, but now they get to just play the Tua should have won the Heisman card, and now they're out for vengeance for Tua, and they get to actually face Murray in that game.
You know, another thing.
Murray might just want to go ahead and go play. He might want to report to spring training.
Is this Carney Lansford? Hey, yeah. Let's go take some ground balls.
When does spring training start? Not till February. You sure?
Yeah, get there early. Oh, he'll be – that. Is that – which one's in Miami? I haven't been
That's
able to
that one. Bam, Oklahoma's in Miami.
Well, he'll
then,
just be there for, you know – although I guess they train in –
they're in
Yuma.
Arizona. Yeah. He could skip the Fiesta Bowl if they were in it.
It's –
You ain't going to watch those games?
It's going to be hard.
I mean, they figure to both be one-sided. I actually think the Irish and Clemson might be a pretty good game, but I think Alabama's going to – they're going to take Oklahoma, unfortunately, behind the old woodshed because Tua lost the Heisman to Kyler Murray.
I know this. I know we're one of the three best teams in the country.
Yeah, Nick Saban even said so.
Voted as fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Well
– how's that work out? Isn't he an educator?
It's all about – it's – getting young men, turning them into men. Oh, okay.
You're right. Like, deep down inside, he would never admit it, but he loves that Tua didn't win the Heisman.
Absolutely he does.
Because now he knows for sure they're going to whip Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
Now.
He's going to be the better. Yeah, you use this as motivation. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
And he can do that thing with his hands after they – well, and it's – you know, we played so many good football teams here at the end, and – you know, Georgia gave us a good game. You know, in the end, our guys just battled through. But then when they lose, everybody's in a better mood when you win. But it's like when they lose, good Lord.
Jeff, moving on in the 5-5, the Dogs get a verbal commitment today from Clay Webb.
Oh, good call. Yeah. Somebody just tweeted me Wisconsin hasn't won a football championship.
They haven't won one?
But they're another team I could see. Like, all right, so they're going to beat Ohio State or Michigan, and then between like – Georgia, Alabama, Clemson.
I mean, they couldn't even beat Northwestern this year to make it to the Big Ten title game.
Yeah, Texas, Oklahoma. Are you going to beat two of those teams? I don't see it.
But Wisconsin, like, never even won one back in, like, the – they don't claim one.
Not that I'm aware of. Mm. Anyway, yeah, go back. The verbal – I'm sorry. That was a good tweet, though.
Yeah. No, we got Clay Webb, big lineman out of Oxford, Alabama. Jeff, how does he fit into the offensive line shuffle?
He fits our scheme.
Does he fit our scheme?
Yeah. No, okay. That's a really big pickup there for Joe. I think he's a natural center who could also play guard. Certainly gives this class, this line, a huge boost. Sam Pittman, Kirby Smart, do it again. And this position that was such a constant source of angst for Georgia has now become a strength. I mean, that offensive line was great this year. I think it'll be even better next year. So you'll probably see Webb come in and, you know, be an understudy at center in 2019. And, you know, who knows? You know, at one point this year, I guess what, between Hill and Mays, we started two true freshmen. So, who knows? I mean, you obviously know when you come to Georgia, there's going to be a lot of talent, but you're going to be given your shot. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out in 2020. You know, does he play guard? Does he play center? Does Trey Hill go to guard? Does Jamari Sawyer go to tackle? But that's a huge pickup for Georgia. And also, I mean, how often? That's one thing. You know, schools come into Georgia and Florida and get players all the time. Webb's generally been regarded one of the top two or three players in Alabama. Some spots have him number one. How many times does a school go into that state and beat out Alabama and Auburn to get a player?
I would almost think maybe that's never happened. that if one of either Alabama or Auburn want a guy from the state of
Alabama, very rare that they leave.
That they get them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you look most years, like I would say on average of the top 10 players in Georgia, like last year we got 7, which is, if we could average getting 5, that'd be great. You know, in Florida, if anybody could get 4, that'd be doing great. But, I mean, if you look most years, top 10 players in Alabama, I mean, now with Saban, 6 of them go to Alabama, 3 of them go to Auburn, and maybe 1 of them goes somewhere else. But usually, I mean, it's 10 out of 10 stay in state.
And, I mean, this isn't just any guy. This is depending on the recruiting service you look at. He's either the top or the number 2 rated player in the state of Alabama.
Exactly.
I mean, I would almost say, I mean, it's never happened that the top player in the state of Alabama has not gone to either Alabama or Auburn.
I know. Like, Jameis wasn't that highly rated as a recruit. He's from Alabama, but he wasn't like the number 1 player in the state.
I don't think he was either. I mean, we can go and look. I mean, look him up. But
no, but I mean, I don't recall that. Like, I wasn't aware of him when he arrived at Florida State.
I wasn't either.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would have been if he was a number 1 player from Alabama. Like, T. Martin was really good. He was from Mobile, but it was a fit, and both of those schools had quarterbacks. But, yeah, that's extremely rare.
Yeah. For just the top player in that state to end up,
yeah,
out
and
of
like
school.
You say, I don't know if it's ever happened.
Yeah, that's not out.
I mean, T. Martin was great.
Unless
he wasn't
we go
number
and,
one.
I mean, I'll go and try and dig up Winston and see where he was rated
he
in the state that year. But
no, and like T. Martin was really good, but he was like the number 7 player in the state. He
right.
wasn't number 1.
Yeah. Well, he led to a lot of shenanigans though between Tennessee and Auburn.
Two.
Wasn't he? I mean, he was basically at the root of why Fulmer didn't show up that one year to SEC Con and like phoned it in because he was going to get served.
It goes back to recruiting, baby.
Yeah, but it really is something when you think about our offensive line. Like, we didn't have Ben Cleveland after the 4th game this season.
Didn't have Cade.
He missed the last 3.
Yeah.
I mean, so Trey Hill stepped in there and started the last 3 games.
We didn't have Galliard for most of the Kentucky game.
And Hill was a Hill that stepped in there then too, right?
Yeah.
So next year we're looking at Thomas and Wilson.
Yes.
Who's the center? Trey Hill?
Yes.
For sure. Like, not Warren Erickson?
I would guess Hill with Erickson and Webb
and
as
then
the backups.
The guards are Cleveland and who?
Mays.
Cleveland
Kinley.
Mays, Kinley. Where's Salyer fit in now?
Guard / next right tackle.
Does Webb play next season?
Oh, I think with this 4-game deal, absolutely.
Right.
Because here's the other thing.
Salyer ended up playing like all 12 games.
Oh, yeah. No, he got his feet wet. And they, from everything I've heard, he's really progressed, too. They love the track he's on.
Does this mean, is Natori Johnson now a full-time defensive lineman?
I think so. We got Justin Schaefer, too, who's really good.
Right. So he ain't coming back to the O-line now.
I would guess they'd keep him on defense unless it's just not hitting, and then he'll come back over.
Right.
But again, the thing is where you got to keep building that depth, though, and you also Owen Condon's going to be a really good tackle. But I mean, Andrew Thomas is going to be a high pick.
Yeah, he has one more year here.
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, next season does need to give maybe some thought to like who will his heir apparent be at left tackle.
And there's a good chance Isaiah Wilson
is going to also,
And, I mean, Big Ben's, going to be a 4th-year junior. I mean, if he was healthy and had a great year. So, yeah, hopefully we don't lose all those guys. But the chances are –
Thomas is definitely gone. So, at this point, if we're talking to Sam Pittman right now, he would probably tell us who is he planning on replacing Andrew Thomas with.
My guess would be Cade Mays. And so, the O-line in 2020, if you want to go look way out, it'd be Mays at left tackle. If Salyer could move out and play right tackle, he or Condon, or maybe one of the freshmen coming in, Truss or McClendon, but I would say the guys in the program, probably Salyer, and then you would have Hill, Webb. He's still got Kinley, too, in the middle. He's only a sophomore.
He is?
Yeah.
But he redshirted, though, right?
Or did he's a redshirt.
So this is his.
He came in and played like one play in 2016.
That's right. Yeah. And they got like a medical exemption for him. Okay. All right. Finally,
and
Jeff.
You got Schaefer too.
What was the biggest play in yesterday's Dolphins Patriots game?
Oh,
as we bring it back to that.
That's hard. The play at the end, Chris. It was one of the. You know what I miss? We all harken back to our days of youth. I needed a little. This is Harry Callie. Harry Callis, Alcoa presents fantastic finishes. And you would always see Joe Pisarcik and Herm Edwards, the immaculate reception.
Yep.
Well, this one
that
was
would be
right
on there.
I mean, this one, the Music City Miracle, the Immaculate Reception, Joe Pisarcik and Herm Edwards would probably be the four most just, as Cosmo Kramer would say, mind-boggling. Did you say mind-boggle? Most mind-boggling or bottling finishes that I can remember in a pro game.
Yeah. It just makes it even better, the victim.
Belichick.
Yeah.
Like and they'll probably still go to the Super Bowl, but
that's
whatever.
Fine. Yeah.
He got to suffer through that one day.
They're not going to go to the Super Bowl if they don't have two home games.
No, they don't. They won't.
I mean, that's like their fourth road loss this year.
So could Houston get that bye, though? That's the key.
I don't think so.
So you think the Pats are going to be the 2 seed?
Yeah, because the Pats do own the breaker over them.
That was a bad loss for Houston yesterday then. They got a break.
Yeah, they lost to the Colts, who didn't score the week before against Jacksonville.
Oof.
All right, there's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.